The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library with additional support from Clark County Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, and Wright Memorial Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. I'd like to welcome to the program today Patty Dan. She joins us on the telephone in Manhattan. Hello, Patty.
Hello there. It's a great pleasure to be there, or be wherever we are in this COVID time.
It's a pleasure to be on the phone with you on a beautiful landline phone, Patty, which you've gone to great trouble to obtain, and we appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, it's the first time I've been to a neighbor's in a few months, so this is all very exciting.
Well, we are so glad that you did that and that they were generous with their phone line. You have recently published a novel called The Right Sister, and our listeners are probably saying, okay, that's an interesting title, but they're not seeing the actual spelling of the word right. It's right. Spelled like our own Wright brothers here in Dayton, Ohio. And the Wright sister, of course, with Catherine. How did you decide to write about her?
Oh, that's such a great question. I had always been enamored with the Wright brothers, as many of us are. They're dapper, brilliant boys, men who, you know, changed the world. And it wasn't until I read the McCullough book that I really was aware of Catherine's existence. And then this curious fact that she married at 52 for the first and only time, and her beloved brother Orville, Orv, refused to speak to her ever again. At this point, Wilbur had died, and there were some parallels to my life. I too married in my 50s. I had been widowed before, and so my siblings were thrilled that I got married. I couldn't imagine why. So one night, I woke up at 3 in the morning, and I began writing imaginary letters from Catherine to her brother Orv, and that was really what propelled me to continue the book.
Mm. We had David McCullough on for the Wright Brothers book, and so that was it. You were reading that book, and you said, oh, my, the sister, there's a sister. You didn't really know about her before that?
I knew of her existence, but I think it wasn't the history that compelled me so much. It was this curious relationship with her brother that when something happy happened, she found love in middle age with a man she had known at Oberlin, and she had known Harry Haskell's late wife, Isabel. One would think that a family member would be happy. I mean, they were all friends. And so it was more this estrangement while simultaneously feeling joy that made me want to do more research. In fact, I didn't look at real letters. I'm not a scholar. I write fiction and nonfiction and personal essays, but I became rather obsessed with Catherine, who, you know, was a suffragist in Dayton, an educated woman, and the boys didn't go to college, and I just wanted to figure out what made her tick, so that's why I pursued this.
Was it a coincidence that the book came out right at around the 100th anniversary of women getting the right to vote in the United States?
It came out on the day, August 18th, of the 100th anniversary. It was a coincidence in that I began writing this 4 years ago, and I didn't know when I would complete it. And the publisher thought, oh, well, let's do it around the anniversary, but the whole thing was a bit of a coincidence. And as I began to do research, there were more parallels in my life in that Catherine married Harry Haskell, a journalist at the Kansas City Star, and my husband was a journalist at the Baltimore Sun, and who also had a long marriage and then became widowed. So I was very interested in this whole notion of what it's like to marry someone who's had a long marriage and visits the cemetery of his late wife and what that's like. So there was a very much personal interest in this topic.
Your husband, has he been at the Sun for a long time?
He was. He took a buyout, and he's now retired, but, you know, he started when there were typewriters and linotype machines, and probably not so different than when Catherine married Harry Haskell. At that time, the book starts in 1926 when Catherine first gets married, and there were no women journalists at the Kansas City Star. There certainly have been since, and are at the Baltimore Sun as well.
Sure. H.L. Mencken would have been writing for the Sun then, and I'm guessing your husband probably worked with people like David Simon and Laura Lippman.
Exactly. We know them well. Yep.
Wow.
There are many journalists who then became or were initially terrific writers and translated into TV, film, and novels as well.
The book is The Wright Sister. Patty Dan joins us. Let's talk about how this happened, how she met Harry Haskell. She knew him at Oberlin. She knew Harry's first wife at Oberlin. How did they get back together? Tell our listeners. We have a few out there who aren't 100% conversant with the history.
And as I understand it, well, first of all, I think it's important to know that there were two older brothers in the family, Rooklyn and Lauren, who married and had kids and moved out of the Wright family's nest. And then there was Wilbur, who died young from typhoid, perhaps from eating oysters. And then the mother had died when Catherine was only 14. And so Orville and Catherine were left with the Reverend in Dayton. And Catherine went off to Oberlin, and she became friends with Harry Haskell. I mean, they were in a group of friends, also with Isabel, and Haskell and his wife would visit the Wright family in Dayton, and then after Isabel died, Catherine wrote a condolence note, and they corresponded and got re-in touch, but they were just friends.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's how I met my husband. I hadn't known him before, but he had reviewed a book of mine and mentioned that his wife had died, and I thanked him for the review, and we corresponded. So again, it was something that I was personally drawn to. But it was a very big deal for Catherine to leave Dayton and to move 600 miles, which was basically train at that time. You figure in 1903, Orville did the first flight, as we all know, 12 seconds, 120 feet, and that was the same year that the first automobile was sold, but it would have been a long train trip between Dayton and Kansas City, and it's a big change for her to leave all her friends behind, and also where she was very active in the suffragist movement and her brother's business, and so I'm also very interested in what happens when a woman makes such a big change in her life. I mean, I don't think it was ever an option for Harry Haskell to leave Kansas City and move to Dayton. I don't think he was going to be a house husband in those days.
Hmm. The book is The Wright Sister. Patty Dan wrote it. We have many letters in here that Catherine has written to Orville. And these are letters that she's writing just to express her thoughts about their estrangement. She's not sending these particular letters to him. She's just putting them in storage. And then there are all these entries in what she is calling her marriage diary, where she's talking about what it's like to be married and how she feels about her separation from her brother. We don't really get Orville's direct viewpoint. We get her view through your fiction of what his viewpoint might be. Can we try to look at what Orville's side of this might have been and why he felt so angry with Catherine for her decision late in life to find love? What was the relationship? Wasn't she often mistaken for being Mrs. Orville Wright because they were so close?
Absolutely correct, and it's such a terrific question. I don't know if I ever solved that question, which was the initial question that I tried to answer, is why would a brother refuse to speak to his sister? She was happy. and it was somebody he knew and liked. The three of them, Orville, Wilbur, and Catherine, were such a tight unit that they almost, I don't think there was anything untoward, but I think Orville was such a shy man, and Catherine was the one, when they went to Europe, who really was sort of the social director, and I think he was very lonely. I mean, his father had died, and his beloved brother. I think basically he didn't know how to function so well without her, but it is still perplexing to me that he would not even respond to her. In the book is structured so that there are these letters, that imagined letters, that she does mail. And in the book, she calls the house in Dayton and talks to the housemaid. And so she knows that Orville is okay.
So she did mail those letters.
She did mail those letters
okay.
in the book.
I get it.
And
all right.
And she also kept a marriage diary.
Okay.
So she certainly would be somebody who approved of the postal system. And she... You know, and she had what she kept was carbon copies of, you know, in the days when people kept carbon copies of letters. Those were what she kept. Yeah.
I see. That's why someone's hands were turning blue at the end.
Yes.
get it now. I misunderstood about the letters. I got the impression that I guess at the end I should have figured out that after what he did with the letters.
Mm-hmm.
That he actually – I wasn't sure if those were different letters that she was sending.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I understand now.
Yeah. No, she did send them, and, you know, she made phone calls, even though they were long distance at that point, so they were expensive. And she really – it really broke her heart. So, in other words, she found great love and lost great love, which, you know, is a cruel thing to have happen. And yet, I think that happens in life. People find happiness with someone, and you lose people who don't like the person for whatever reason. This is rather extreme, but these feelings of joy and sorrow that I think we're feeling in the pandemic are very familiar, this sort of longing, and then these just moments of joy, hopefully.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting you would say that because... We have people in this pandemic who are dying and not being able to be with their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And she found love late in life. She didn't know when she got together with her husband, Harry Haskell, that she only had just a few years to live. And during these years, she was separated from Orville by his choice. And as she lay dying, he finally... decides to show up, and this kind of reminds me a little bit of our current situation. I hadn't thought of that with the COVID and people not being able to be with their loved ones as they're dying.
I think it's a good point. My mother died during the pandemic, and you know, it broke my heart not to be able to see her. And this is going on every day, and not being able to, you know, with that kind of loss, or not to hold a baby. I mean, it's these extremes that I think in this country, people haven't felt them to such an extreme because we haven't had this, or perhaps in 1918 it was like that. But in our lifetimes, the intensity of the emotion, and it is curious to me that the book came out now, and I imagined Catherine feeling such feelings of loss as well.
Well, you take us inside her head, or at least what you imagine is in there, and I could tell you were having a little bit of fun with this. some of your storylines here, we get to see the sexual blooming of this, quote, spinster.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I have no idea about Catherine Wright's intimate life or her brother's intimate life, and it's not for me to say, but as a fiction writer and as someone who married in her 50s, I remember when I first met my husband's old friends who knew his late wife, who sounds like she was a wonderful person, they would say things like, oh, it's so nice you found companionship, which always made me feel like sort of a dog, you know, by the side of the bed. And then I don't want to talk too much further about this, but, you know, a woman in her 50s and anybody in their 50s can have a vital life. So I enjoyed jazzing up Catherine Wright's life that way. Uh-huh. And in fact, I thought, I mean, if you do fall in love in your 50s and you move 600 miles, I mean, I don't think it was just to, you know, cook or talk politics at the time. So I did enjoy, when I started writing a diary, I just sort of went there and wrote these more fun details. So hopefully it's not a dreary read, but it's a fun read of a woman. The other thing is, people have asked me, well, how did I write using those kinds of words like Heavens to Betsy or something? But, you know, I had three grandparents who were born in the late 1890s, and so that language is quite familiar to me. So, then someone just last week called and said that her relative was Catherine Wright's roommate at Oberlin, and she sent me some real letters. And the language doesn't seem so different to me. I mean, she was a smart, engaged, creative woman. And I tend to think that she might have had her hand in the invention of the airplane more than one would think. I have no proof of that. She was a smart woman.
Well, I guess we're contemporaries, Patty. I had three grandparents who were born in the 1890s, and I can remember talking to my great-grandmother who was born in the 1870s. And she didn't talk like that, but, you know, she was my great-grandmother, so she would have thought that was slangy, I suppose, to talk that way. You use, like, some of these slang expressions from the time.
From the 1920s.
Which ring true. And we have another aspect of this where she's feeling jealousy towards Isabel, the dead wife. There are pictures of her in the house still. She finds traces of her in the house. At one point, she comes upon a sachet in the back of a drawer. Her reactions, are these just your imagination?
Yes, I have an active imagination, I confess. And I confess, too. I mean, I've talked to many. I mean, what's different in this book is that, excuse the dog barking in the background, so Catherine Wright had never been married before, and she married a widower. I, in fact, had been married before and was widowed as well. So I have compassion for my real-life late wife and for Catherine's husband's late wife. But there is this phenomenon that if you marry somebody whose wife died young or at 50, they never age. And so, I sort of tapped into some of my own jealous feelings. I never was as destructive as Catherine was at some point. I didn't throw anything away at anybody.
All right. The book is The Wright Sister. It's a new novel by Patty Dan, who joins us on the program today. You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, your home for independent news and handpicked music. And your depiction of the bishop, Reverend Wright, the patriarch of the family. Anyone who's read widely about the Wright brothers has come across him. And I think when you talked about your imagination going wild, I think when you depict him in one particular portion of the story, I think your imagination truly did go wild.
Yes, it did. It's a spoiler alert.
I
would say, don't let the cat out of the bag.
I got to that point. I had to read that over again. It's like, oh, okay.
Oh. I mean, I'm not sure.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do know. There are some passionate moments in this book. But you have to read it.
Right.
I think
anyone who's a scholar of the Wright brothers will read this, and I can just see the eyebrows rising all across the country.
Yeah, and I wrote at the end, I did not want to offend either the Wright family or the Haskell family, but I hope McCullough doesn't get mad at me, but who knows?
Oh, I don't think he's capable of anger. Patty, what's the response been? The book's been out for a couple of weeks, so what kind of reactions are you getting?
I'm getting really nice response, and the bookstores in Kitty Hawk are pushing it, and so and at first I thought, oh, it's only a book for older women, but then some college kids have been interviewing me, and so it's quite interesting that people relate to it on different, some people are fantastically knowledgeable about the Wright family and so curious, but other people are interested in the human element of it, and then there are people who just like historical novels, or epistolary novels, as this is considered. So, yeah, I'm getting a really wonderful response. I feel very lucky. Very lucky indeed.
Can we talk about the Rudder?
I don't want to talk. Well, I just...
that's why I'm asking. Do you want to talk about the Rudder?
People read the book.
All right.
I said,
do you want to do it? And I'm being careful here.
I just sort of think that there has been some question about the Rudder in the airplane, and so I sort of pose that Catherine is perhaps more involved than she admitted in her lifetime. So,
Well, if it makes you feel any better, and from a totally different aspect, of course, when I interviewed David McCullough, I asked him, I said, can you explain how the warped wing worked? And he immediately changed the subject.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, that makes me feel good.
Yeah. And it's not because you don't understand the Rudder. You just want the reader to find out about the Rudder on their own.
Yeah. Right. And perhaps I don't understand either.
Oh, no, I don't think that's it.
That's very, very generous of you.
All right.
Very generous. Yeah, you're terrific. Thank you.
The book is The Wright Sister. Patty Dan wrote it. And we had to edit that part out, by the way, with where McCullough changed the subject. We just... it's like, okay, he's not touching that. He just totally went somewhere else.
Writer's not scientist.
Yeah, tell us about yourself. How'd you become a writer? What are some of the other things that you've written? Give us your bio.
I think eavesdrop is one of the first, that's not official in my bio, that eavesdrop is one of the first words I learned, but my first book actually was turned into a movie called Mermaids with Cher and Winona Ryder long, long ago. And so I thought I would only write fiction. And then things happened in my life. I adopted a wonderful son. I wrote a book about that. My first husband died. I wrote a book about that. So I switch fiction and nonfiction, and I write personal essays. I have 3 modern loves in the New York Times and the Boston Globe and various places. And my great love is teaching writing workshops at the local YMCA in New York City, and it's all on Zoom now. So that's what we're all doing. So I long to be in a classroom again, as many teachers do. But I just love teaching memoir. I wrote a book about that called The Butterfly Hours. So if anybody's interested in getting people writing, because I love to hear stories, whether they're fiction or nonfiction or just conversations on the street. I find that stories restore me and that writing puts me back together when I've had loss in my life, and I like to help people find that tool and art in their own as well. And I find that in the act of writing, one recovers memory. So I've had people who are dealing with memory loss, and then in the physical act of writing, they recover memories, which I think is can be very powerful. So I'm a teacher writer, is what I do. Yeah.
Okay. And when did you become aware of the fact that you wanted to write books?
I think I always did. My mother worked for the local newspaper, and I would follow her around with my little pencil and notebook, and she always said, you have to imagine what it's like to walk in other people's shoes. And I would have this sort of physical sensation of that. Uh-huh. And so with this book, I imagined wearing Wilbur Norville's, you know, shiny Oxfords, or I imagined Catherine's silk pumps when she got married to Harry Haskell.
Mm.
I'm very interested in the daily details of regular life. This book is not a big sprawling historical novel. It's this quick read. That's what I like. It takes me a few years to write these books. Mm. But, that's what I'm interested in, daily life, I think.
Well, I'm a
big plot.
I'm a huge fan of libraries and also of newspapers, and I really related to Harry Haskell, her husband, with his mounds and mountains of newspapers. I felt sort of a guilty connection with him.
My real-life husband has that, too, so I threw that in. And I literally have, literally, I've, you know, have you read this? Have you read this? You know, pulling the newspaper from as he's reading.
And he still likes to read the actual newspaper.
He does. Mm-hmm. He does. I confess I read on devices.
Yeah. Well, bless his heart.
I'll tell him.
And what kind of stuff do you like to read?
I read all sorts of things. I think one of my favorite books recently was Paulette Giles' News of the World, and another epistolary novel, of course, Color Purple by Alice Walker.
Uh-huh.
I just read everything, I think. Uh-huh. Yeah, everything.
And is there another book in you somewhere that you're thinking about?
I'm sort of, there's another there's a woman in history, an artist's wife I'm quite intrigued with. I'm not going to say her name yet, because I don't know if the book will fly, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So I just sort of wait to hear whether it's a strong enough voice to continue.
Uh-huh.
So, no, but I'll get to another book, because I feel a bit lonely not being in Catherine's head.
Uh-huh. And having a book come out at this time, during this current situation, what's that been like?
I mainly feel very fortunate to have a book out during the pandemic. I mean, in other words, that's my work. So many people are out of jobs, and people are still reading.
Mm.
And so mainly I feel fortunate. I would have liked to be in a bookstore and give a real reading, but I'm doing those virtually and on Zoom. So it's not such a different life for a writer.
Yeah.
So I feel very privileged.
Well, Patty, I would have asked you to read something from the book, but we're running out of time. So I'm just going to suggest that our listeners order the book or go to the library and pick up a copy and read it, because it's really a compelling read, and we really appreciate your time today.
Oh, thank you. It's been wonderful spending time with you on a real phone. Catherine Wright would like that.
Bless your heart. And when I called you, you didn't just like hang up. Like Orville would have done if his sister had called.
No. I was excited to hear your call.
Thank you for that. The book is The Wright Sister, written by Patty Dan. It just came out, and we have a lot of Wright Brothers aficionados here in our area. So hopefully you'll see a little bump in sales after we air this interview. Patty, thank you once again for your time.
Thank you.
You heard it on the Book Nook on WYSO. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis.